Most discouraging things Satan can bring into our lives is when there is an injustice from our brothers and sisters in the church. Because this is family. These are the folks we're expecting to be on our side 100% and protect us, and we're walking together in dealing with injustice in the world around us and looking to bring God's love to expression. And so when we receive injustice from one another in the church, that is sometimes some of the most painful issues for us. And so we wanted to address this issue, and I couldn't think of anybody better to speak to this topic than our dear sister, Suzanne Bates. Because the Lord has put her in a multitude of circumstances where she has been a pioneer for the Lord in race relations. And there's a lot of things that have been said, perspectives that have been held, where people have been even unaware, and there's been a lot of pain to push past and forgive, and hurt to let go of, and continue to enter into the love of God in her life. And we're just so blessed and grateful for Suzanne and her leadership and gifting God has given her. So she's going to come and speak this word to us this morning.
They're brave souls to ask me to come and speak to you this morning, actually. I mean, it's not something that I necessarily think about doing. I just want you to know that. And I was just telling Kaylee back there in the back that using my voice is not something that I'm very comfortable with all the time, and yet I do it all the time. I'm a therapist. I do counseling. But it's really nice listening. That's what I do a lot of. And so sometimes even just standing before you to share something, especially of this nature and this magnitude, it does put a little bit of fear and trembling in my soul, right? And so I kind of want to just talk to you a little bit. And I want to, you guys are going to have slides up there, and I'll tell them when to advance. But then I'm also going to be looking here if you don't mind. But I'm also wanting to just have you think a lot about this topic and where it manifests in your life. So one of the things as a counselor that is heartbreaking for me many times is, you know, in confidence, I hear a lot of hard things. And I counsel a lot of people in the church. And so, you know, not to breach a confidentiality there, but you must know, you have to know, that people in the church are greatly wounded. And sometimes we look so much like the world, it's hard to tell the difference. Even in the name of doing righteous acts, we can be doing unrighteous acts towards one another. Sometimes it's just about neglect. So this is something that's a real burden for my heart. I was praying about something the other day about, you know, my passion. You know, I work with women, and I'm a strong advocate of women and women's issues and all of those things. But I'm probably not that forefront voice in that realm. And then I'm also a black woman. In case you haven't noticed, I want to help you out. You might not be able to tell. But, you know, I used to have issues even with that. But even as a black woman standing as an advocate, but I asked the Lord, no, what am I actually really, really passionate about? And he said, you are really passionate about making the love of Jesus known. And you're passionate about when the enemy is lying to my people about issues around kingdom things and righteousness. And the enemy lies to us just like he's operating in the world. And the sad thing is when we actually listen and then we act and respond in that place. And we do tremendous harm because we're still standing in a place of righteousness. So I'm just going to walk through some things with you. But before I do that, I want to ask you to do something. In the back of your booklets, you have a notes page, right? Or two. So I want you on a blank piece of paper there. I want you to write this. You can put it up. It's the third slide. Well, let me read the second one first. Yeah. This verse I love. I love Psalm 139. I love Psalm 139. But I particularly love these verses. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I love it because at any time I can come back to this. And this is where God brings me right back to center. Brings me right back. Anytime I feel like I'm moving astray, especially in sin, in judgment against another. So I want you to hold that scripture in your minds and then do the next slide right there. Okay. On the top of your page, I want you to write, Father, in Jesus' name, help me to forgive, and put a blank there because I'm sure you'll go back to that later. Whomever you want, you can put somebody in there now if you have somebody. And I know you could try to deceive others in your church or deceive people here and think, you know, I'm so much about this kingdom thing. I just love God's people. But I know and you know that there is somebody you hold a grudge against right now today. And probably they are in the church or close fellowship of the church. Maybe they're in a different church because you're angry with them and you left that church or they left that church. But it's the body of Christ still. So I want you to think about that. And as I share, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what needs to be forgiven because you're going to also put four. Father, help me to forgive this blank person four. Right? Now, I want you to know we're not going to stay there because that's not what God wants us to do. Otherwise, we would be bypassing Psalm 139. So on the opposite side of the page or on another page, I want you to write, Father, in Jesus' name, reveal to my heart the ways I have offended. The ways I have offended. And make a list, even as I'm talking, about what the Holy Spirit brings to bear. This is what I know. He wants to talk to you about this. This is something he wants to always talk to his people about because he wants us to look like him, loving and forgiving. That's what he's about, every detail. And you know what? When we're not doing that, then we're oftentimes treating people ill. So keep those things in mind. Let me pray for us. Father God, I do pray, we do pray, that you would minister to our hearts this morning about your love and your forgiveness and about how we do damage in the church. Lord, give us a passionate heart about living at peace with men as best we can. But more, Lord, give us a heart that says, I want to glorify your name. I want to exalt you in my relationships, and especially the hard relationships where people have wronged me and done and said every manner of evil against me, and where I have felt like the scum of the earth at the hand of another. Or, Lord, where we say in our hearts, show us where we have done that to someone else. Lord, we need you to reveal this place to us as only you can do it. Oftentimes, we don't even want to hear men, especially if we're just not in the mood to hear them on that given day. But you are able to speak deeply into the dark recesses of the soul, the truths about our acts in loving and forgiving. And you know what, Lord? This is our cry. This is my cry for me and us in this room especially, but for your church at large, is that we would be set free by these things. And so teach us right now about what that looks like. We come empty-handed, not with all of our knowledge, not with all of our intellect. We don't have it. Not when it comes to this. We know that we have to just cry out to you. And so we are crying out, speak, O Lord, we are listening. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. So let's look at Romans 3:23, because this is another place where I kind of plant myself. This is what I have to remember when I want to exalt people above myself and put them above others and put them on a pedestal. How many of you all have put people on pedestals, right? I'm good at putting people on pedestals. I didn't realize I was good at it. But the idols of our heart cause us to move in that direction, right? And we kind of do it. And sometimes we want to be on the pedestal. That may be you, the glory and the fame. And so when I'm in a place of especially remembering that I'm afraid to approach a person or be in relationship with someone because I'm thinking, oh, they have money, or, oh, they're so smart, or, oh, they're this, the Lord reminds me, Suzanne, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When you walk into the church on a Sunday morning, do you walk in and think, everybody in here has sinned and fall short of the glory of God? I have sinned and I fall short of the glory of God every day. Because you have not arrived. Not one of us. Well, maybe you think you have. Well, maybe some of you all have more than I have. But we don't arrive, right? This is an ongoing work of sanctification, of purification that the Lord is doing in his people for his glory. And then this is the other verse from Matthew. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've had a lot of people get mad at me around these issues of loving and forgiving. A lot of people, my girlfriends, when they have their marital problems and they're talking to me, and I kind of am one of those people that says, okay, and what about you? Start with you. That's what God wants us to do. Start with you as you're thinking about this. Don't start with all the other people out there or you know that need to work on an issue. You start with you. That's what he wants to talk about. And then he can transform. But when I do that, they get a little angry with me because then they're like, wait a minute, you're citing. You know what it's like, right? One of the hardest things in the church is when you have couples that have traveled together in the church and they hang out, they party together, and then someone gets a divorce. Someone has an affair. There's a breach, and those couples don't know what to do anymore. They're kind of like, who do I side with? Have you know this experience I'm talking about? Where do I go? I mean, which friend group should I hang with now? Because I don't really like what the husband did to the wife. And the wife's side is going, I don't really like, you know, the husband's side is, I don't really like what that wife did to the man, the husband. And the friends kind of gravitate, and they're thinking, where do we go? What side are we on? And if they come into my office, I say, well, you need to be on the side of truth. You need to be on the side of the cross. Not on the side of the people. You see, because only God knows what has happened in that marriage and the way it's unfolded. He's the only one that knows what happens behind those closed doors when we don't treat people nicely in our families. And when we do the same thing in the church in the name of Jesus, right? We make it look real pretty. So he's saying, I want to strip that down. Be on the side of truth and helping the couples that I might be working with or those that are in that place to navigate. It is a lot of work because the heart says, be mad. The heart says, make them pay. The heart says, you know what? You don't need to forgive them. Look how long you have suffered this. Are you kidding me? Isn't that what you say in your heart? You've suffered too long at the hand of someone in the church. How dare they? Why would you stick around? They ought to leave the church. You all, the things that I probably shouldn't really go there. You have to know it's in us. It's in us. And God is not looking at us going, I despise you because of that junk all up in there around my own people. He's looking with a compassionate heart saying, but do you know I love you? Do you know how I loved you? Do you know that I want to set you free from that bitterness and that rage? Do you know that I want to do something in you that is transformative for the sake of the kingdom in loving and forgiving that makes people go, what? What in the heck was that? Webster defines forgiveness as to give up resentment against a desire to punish, to give up all claim to punish or exact penalty, to pardon, to cancel or remit. Forgiveness is giving up your right to be right. How many of you like to be right? Especially with your kids or your spouse. Think about it. It is refusing to ask others to pay a penalty for their wrongdoing. And in fact, to forgive means you will take up the cost, the penalty for the wrongdoing. Are you willing? Barry started here. The cost of reconciliation. There is a cost to love. It will take everything in your being to say, I am going to commit. Ain't let nobody turn me around. I'm going to commit to loving at all costs. I'm going to plan it like this. And the Lord has a word for that in his scriptures. He says, be still and know that I am God. When it's hard to love the unlovable. Be still, he says. Plan it. Love. But it does cost. And so we go on. And we look at more here about this forgiveness. Oh, wait, I want to read those, the cost of discipleship. Bonhoeffer says, true forgiveness is always a form of suffering. Always. So is loving. Just by the way. They go hand in hand, you know. Forgiveness is the Christ-like suffering, which it is the Christian's duty to bear. So you've heard this already, too, bearing one another's burdens. Everything that I'm going to talk about, you've actually already heard. You heard it all yesterday and today. Nothing new under the sun, but maybe a different perspective in it. But in order to truly forgive, we must name that which needs to be forgiven. And I'm going to tell you, this is a place where we fall really short. We have to look at the sin, the injustice, the brokenness. And you know what? This is what happens in the church. We don't want to talk about anything because we think if we name that pony, it's going to have power. We're not talking about sex. No way. We're not going to talk about the LGBTQ community. No way. We're not going to talk about anything hard or challenging. We're not going to talk about reconciliation. No way. You know why? Because if we talk about that, there's some power. Something's going to come over us. It's going to take control. We're going to lose control. And before you know it, our congregants will be doing whatever. We won't have their hearts and everything in our hands. Because we really like that power and control thing. So we say, I'm not going to talk about it. Just believe God. Just love God. You know, when I was going through a lot of marital problems, I remember going to the church, and they used to say to me wonderfully, beautifully, oh, just take hold of 1 Corinthians, you know, love is patient, love is kind, love does not keep a record of wrongs. And I'm like, okay, I'm dying. I'm dying. No, those things are still true in the scriptures. But we have to name what's happening. Because that's where we take back, which I'm jumping ahead, we actually take back the power of Satan. Do you understand that? That thing about secrecy, secrets keep you sick. That's what we used to say all the time when I worked in the jail. Secrets keep you sick. You hold that baby in here. You hold it up here. The only place it's being processed is with you. Hello, we got a problem. Because you don't have all the ability to process all the junk in your life all by yourself. Well, I know some of you all might not know that until now, but it's true. We really work hard at that. So when you name it and you bring it out into the forefront, you understand? You snatch that power from Satan. You snatch it. And you say, I'm not going to let this shame me or put me in a box or make me hide. I'm not going to let this fester between me and my brother and my sister. Let's name it so that we can work towards reconciliation. It has a goal. It has an end. It doesn't just stay with the brokenness. God never just stays with the brokenness. You know that. You know that from Isaiah 61. He gives beauty for ashes. He's always moving in a direction of beauty. But he still sees and acknowledges fully all that junk. We like blanket forgiveness. We like to say, okay, I might have hurt you. Okay, if I did, please forgive me. There's a place for that because this sister here, Deborah Lovelace, when I first met her, when I first met Deborah, you didn't do anything. You were a humble, wonderful, glorious servant of the King. But I was not, apparently. I hurt her terribly, right? And I offended her. Well, maybe not terribly. But I didn't really know her that well. I made a passing, kind of fleeting, kind of fly-by-the-pants comment. And I'm driving home from our time together, and it was in a context of other people, but the Holy Spirit said, you know you just offended her. And I said, what? I don't even know her. What? This is what we do. This is that blanket thing. He said, no, you just offended her. And I'm thinking, well, I got to figure out why and what and when, because we like all the answers. You know what it is? I'm trying to figure out how I can be okay. I want to be right. I don't really want to go back to this sister that I don't know and say, but you know what? I had to encounter her and go back to her and say, you know, I need to ask your forgiveness. Do I need to say, maybe you should forgive me? I think I offended you. No, because God already told me what's up. He said, you offended her. Boom. Just like that. And I went back to her and she said, well, and I was like, yikes, I really did. And I was like, Lord, you know all things. Oh my goodness. Because God knows that I am highly relational. The last thing I would want to do is wound my sister here because I love her. He knows that relationships mean so much to me. Maybe too much. And I've had to confess that as an idol in places of my life. He can tell you what needs healing. And so, the next slide. I forget to tell you because I'm... Are you following me as I switch? Hallelujah. All right. So what does the face of injustice look like in the world? I don't even really need to go into these. Just look at the list. You've already heard about everything. You've heard about all these different things, except femicide, destroying females. I love that. Diane Langberg talks about that in her book, In Our Lives First. It's a meditation and devotion. She's a counselor. She's phenomenal. Dr. Diane Langberg, and she talks about how with all the issues of trafficking and rape and domestic violence, sexual abuse, even abortion, right? Even the changes in genitalia of women, things like this that stop women from coming forth. That's the way you have to think about it. And even though we have a genocide, there's a femicide, she says, that is specific to the gender, specific to little girls and women. And what it does is it destroys the mind, the heart, and the soul. Now stay in your church. Stay in your church for a minute. Don't get outside thinking across the waters. Stay in your neighborhood. Stay in your house. Because you know and I know that if we go to that next slide, we can see that same thing in the church. Why do we have, what? This list should not look the same, except what is the truth that we can apply here? I already shared it with you. What's the word we can apply here? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Guess what? That's the good news when you look at this list. Because then you say, oh, that's why Jesus died. That's why the blood has to be applied. This is where the blood gets applied, right here. In grace, not in your righteousness, not in denying that it's there. How can you apply blood to something that you're saying is not even existent? Come on. How can you apply love and forgiveness to something that you deny flat out? You're not going to do it. Naming these things allows us to be free to apply the blood of Jesus and the grace of Jesus to step right into that thing and say, I am going to show and emulate Christ. And I know his blood has already been shed for this. I'm getting ahead of myself again. God knows this stuff is real, isn't it? Anger, malice, slander. Come on, in the church. Backbiting. Writing people off. Not even giving women a space to say that their gifts are honored before a holy king, before God. That is an injustice in your church, you guys. I'm sorry. That doesn't mean that she's going to want to jump up and be on the platform and take the mic from you. Everybody, every woman is not trying to get power. She just wants to be seen. I am woman. I love being a woman. I love it. She just wants to be seen. I am a woman. That means a lot of things about me that God did that's good. There's an injustice when you look at her and you have to either make her like a man or you have to make her non-existent because you don't trust that sin place in your own heart. I'm just going to say that. Because on the other side of that, right, aren't we afraid of each other, of sexes? We're afraid. We have sex addiction is so high. Women are afraid of men. Men are going to always be after me because, of course, I'm so gorgeous. Or a man is afraid of women. Women are going to be after me because I'm such a leader in the church. Okay, that may happen, but everybody doesn't want you. Let me just say, it ain't up in there like that. But we think that way, don't we? We think that way. And you know what we do? We say, I can't be in relationship with you. I can't. It's dangerous. And a woman goes, whoa, what have I done? You see, it's not any different from the color of my skin. When I walk into a room with a bunch of whites and they say, I can't be in relationship with you because you're dangerous. And they don't know me. Father, forgive us. The Face of Injustice, I love this by Diane Langberg. She talks about this in a talk she does, as he is, so are we in this world. And she says, she talks about the slave dungeons of Cape Coast. And she went in, and when she went in, the tour guide was telling her that above those dungeons was the chapel. And in the chapel were the people of God singing and praising the Lord. And while they're in the chapel singing and praising the Lord, the slaves are beneath there crying out in agony and pain from being tortured. And at one point, they even sent somebody down and said, tell those slaves to be quiet. We're worshiping God up here. I can't do as good a job as her. But, of course, she was there. But she says, the dungeon is in our own heart. Did you know that your heart can be like a dungeon? And it's when the heart is not like God's heart. Cain said to Abel, your life and mine, and we say the same thing. This is what she says. Jesus says, but I will give my life for yours. I entered into your violence and your abuse. I entered into your poverty and your pride. Now, we call that love, but in the face of it, we say, I don't feel like doing that today, God. I don't feel like entering into that. And we do this with each other in the church. And so here Tim Keller says, on both a theological and practical level, forgiveness is at the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. True forgiveness comes at a cost and is pursued within a community of believers. Now, you know, this issue is not going to be thought about like this among the pagans. They're not trying to uphold a kingdom view of loving and forgiving, of kindness, of practicing the virtues of the Spirit. They're not trying to stay in that realm. They may have some other law that they live by in their faith. But for us who believe, we have a standard given to us in Christ. And we say, I don't really feel like that today. So if the face of forgiveness looks like the face of God, and it begins with God, he initiated it. You didn't begin love. You didn't begin forgiveness. Did you know that? I heard this young woman say, I was at an EMDR training, and she's a believer, and she goes to a different church, but I heard her say, it was real interesting, and she was just coming out of the bathroom, and I, with my big mouth out of my spirit, just responded to her. But she made a comment about forgiving someone. I don't know about forgiving. And she's mustering it up. I know I just need to forgive. She's mustering it up. Don't you do that? I got to muster this thing up. I got to rein this thing in. I've got to figure out how to get over it. And I turned to her and I walked in. I said, oh, that's not really yours to do. You just have to be willing. And then go to the Holy Spirit and ask for the help. And she said, what? And she turned back on the heels, and I was like, what? Ah, I shouldn't be, you know, what am I doing saying that to her? Out of my mouth, bam. But it's the truth, right? Oh, man, my slides jumped back. Hold on a minute. Okay, here we go. So Nehemiah says, a God ready to forgive, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And he did not forsake them, and he will not forsake you. And Micah says, who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Is that you? Or do you say, don't I have a right to be angry? I should be angry as long as I need to be angry. Now, God understands that anger, and he says, yeah, you can be angry. I mean, sure, there is a righteous anger. There's also an unrighteous anger. But whether you're on either side, he says, yeah, be angry. Don't sin in it. Don't hang out in there. Don't let it fester. Don't go to somebody else and say, be angry with me. In fact, let me tell you all this stuff about that person so you'll enter in to what I'm entering into. And in fact, you should respond to the church like I'm responding to the church. We want somebody to go, rah, rah, yeah, me too. We used to call those in the jail me too fools. Don't be a me too fool for the sake of pleasing people. Watch out, church. God forgives all. Those who believe and those who do not. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What else about the face of this forgiveness? It's loving. As 1 John tells us, that we are to love one another, and that love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know, because I don't like it. We don't want to be anybody's sacrifice, do we? Loving in the way of the cross is a sacrificial loving. You understand that, right? We don't want that. Martin Luther King says, how do we love our enemies? First, we must maintain and develop the capacity to forgive. You understand that? You see how they're both involved there? He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. The degree to which we are able to forgive determines the degree to which we are able, to love our enemies. All right, there is something about this to be really thinking about, because we go, I love, 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 love. And then as soon as we get with someone, we tell them how we can't stand this person and that person and all the stuff they ever did to us. In the church, what else does it look like? Moving towards forgiveness, it looks like recognizing this sin and naming it. It looks like confessing and repenting. Psalm 51 is there for a reason. You know, when Nathan came to King David and told him about his sin with Bathsheba, he brought it in a way that David could hear it. He didn't bring it and say, you know, David, you went and had, you know, sex with Bathsheba, and then you killed her husband, Uriah. He didn't just come straight out with it. He gave him a little parable. And the king, because he was a king of justice, said, this is what needs to be done to bring justice. And then Nathan says, oh, but king, it's you. Don't we do that? I read a quote that said, it is a lot easier for us to be angry about the injustices on the other side of the water than it is for us to basically be angry about it in our own backyards. Yeah, they should not be doing that. And then we go in our house and we do exactly the same thing. You know, our church house. We need to receive forgiveness. Because when you have understood that you sin and fall short of the glory of God, and you need the refreshment of the Spirit and the grace of God over you to replenish you, so that you are not living like Mephibosheth, which the Lord told me, Suzanne, you have a Mephibosheth mentality. You act like you're a dead dog. And I'm trying to lavish kindness on you. I just did a Bible study, a Sunday school lesson on that. Mephibosheth, the valley of dry bones and a perfect love. And when the Lord gave it to me, I fell out laughing. Like, what do those have to do with anything? How do those come together? Oh, my God, he blew me up. I was like, what? Because at the heart of that Mephibosheth mentality is not believing the love of God over you. You understand? We can go there in a minute, you guys. Life doesn't go our way, and we say, God, you don't love me. Oh, Lord, nobody in my church loves me. In fact, everybody's trying to accuse me. We go there in a minute, and Satan goes, yep, you know you're right. You know that's true. And guess what? Remember when they did this to you? Yeah. And we buy all into that. God help us. He wants us to experience the joy that comes in him. But remember, this only comes as we bring this stuff to him. How is the love of God and the forgiveness of God going to wash over you when you're going, I don't have any sin? The world has a word for that, too, that you are deceiving yourself. The heart is deceitful above all else, right? The Lord has to reveal the heart, because we will walk around and go, I don't have any sin. What did I do to Deborah? What are you talking about, God? I'm so thankful for that day. I will never forget it. Yikes, hold on a minute. So what else does he want from us? The face of forgiveness is choosing to forgive. Praise God for the forgiveness he has offered. Pray for help. Plan to look honestly at the offenses. Allender, another counselor, Dr. Dan Allender, who's written the book Bold Love, and it's all about, if you've never read it, read it. It's a good book, but you know what? It'll mess you up. Because the bold love that he's talking about is loving the fool. That's one of the chapters, is how to love a fool. What? A bold love is a love that represents Christ. In the midst of the oppression, in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the persecution, even in the church, and you say, that hurt. You see, learn how to say, ouch. Ooh. And then you say, Father, give me what I need to continue to love. But first, show me where I have sinned too. Start with you. To forgive another is always an ongoing, deepening, quickening process rather than a once and for all event. That's what we like to do. We like to arrive. We love outcomes. We love them. Results. We say, I want to do this thing and get to that destination, even in ministry. I want to minister to that family, and I want to see them get to this point, and then, good, we're going to go to the next person. Don't we like that? We love numbers. We are too outcome-based for the wrong outcomes. Because we say in the face of love, I don't have time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the power. I don't want to do it that way, Lord. I want to love them this way. And he says, that's not what I'm asking for you. Put away bitterness, wrath, and anger. Now, you know, there's some angry folks up in the church. I'm just going to tell you what. That's probably a number one sin issue in our church. Angry with the pastor. Angry with the deacons. Angry with the women's movement. Women's fellowship. Angry with the nursery. Angry with the child care workers. Everybody's angry at somebody. And really, you know what I say to people? I love giving this example. When you're angry, ask yourself two questions. You can write them down. Or not two questions, but think two ways. One is, when you're angry, you have to ask if you're trying to get your own way. Because one reason is the inability to have our way. Even in a righteous anger, you know, it can be fueled by the fact that we want something to go our way. The other one is an inaccurate perception of the situation. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is huge, too, in the church, where we offend. Because we assume we know everything that's going on with a family. Or with an elder, or with a ministry leader, they have to step down. And we are all mad at the session because this person had to step down. But nobody's coming to you and telling you what's going on in the background. This is where we have to trust the grace of God. This is how we defeat that injustice. Defeat the enemy rising up. Don't just go with your perception. Stop and take that to the Lord. Pray about it. Lord, you know all things. And then trust the outcome to him, who is the God who is working all things all the time. Did you know when you get tired at night and you lay your head down, he is not slumbering. He is always working, and he never works on one side, ever. So you're thinking, oh, he's working on me, he's not working on any other person. Don't even deceive yourself. It's not all about you. Ooh. right? And that's what he has to tell me. Suzanne, it ain't about you. One time I got this great blessing, and I was like, oh, Lord, you're so good. And I was just praising him. He said, you know this wasn't about you. This is about your kids. I was like, oh, I guess I still have my little sin issue to deal with, right? He's like, yes. That did not make that go away. We get caught up. Place it at the foot of the cross. Pray for your enemies, and I've seen these, and place it at the foot of the cross. I love taking stuff to the cross. I take my clients to the cross. Boom, I lay them down after we have a session. Even if I don't do it with them, I take all the stuff we talked about, and I just take it, and I envision myself just putting it all together and laying it at the foot of the cross. You know why? Because that's the power. I don't have it. Put it down and leave it there. Don't go picking it back up. Saying, let me see if I can figure this out. We do that. In our unforgiving hearts, we do that. We say, okay, I'm going to give it to God. And as soon as something happens, we go, see, I'm taking it back again because this brother or sister is not going to make me a doormat. I refuse. God says, put that back. Put that. We don't do it. He's so kind to us. He paid the debt, you guys. His blood was shed for you and for me, and it was even before we committed some of our grossest sins. You understand that, right? It's already been paid in full. There's no partial payment. You're going to make some installments on your rent. It's all up in there full. The face of forgiveness, this is what Keller says, refuse to hurt and do harm to someone directly. Become aware of times and places where you're trying to make them pay. So I can ask this question very easily of many people. How long are you going to punish them? You know, we don't use that term often, but it says this in 1 John. Perfect love casts out all fear, because fear has to do with what? Punishment or torment. Did you understand that? When we're fearful, punishment or torment. God wants to deliver you from that, and he wants to deliver others from that, and he wants to use you as a vessel to accomplish that. You are not exempt from the process of accomplishing that in a life. And you can start right now with your neighbor next to you, right now, with the thoughts that you have about someone that are not pure before God. Remember, he doesn't condemn you. He understands the brokenness. But he says, you can't stay there. That's not going to defeat the injustice in my world and in my church. You got to keep going. Refuse to speak against them. Refuse to indulge in ill will. Commit to pray. So the fruit of it is that we resist Satan's schemes. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't studied warfare, go do that. Understand the enemy and how he works. My first two lessons from the Lord were marriage and warfare, because I was in a very difficult marriage. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes my husband came in the house and it was Satan himself. The Lord said to me at one point after my son had a dream and saw a demon, and then he said, you know, Mom, like Dad. And I went, whoa. And the Lord said to me, this is my battle, not yours. What? Because what we do is we battle against flesh and blood, because we forget that there is a war going on in the heavenly realm. We forget about the spiritual battle, especially in the United States and especially in our church. We don't even want to talk about Satan, because we're like, oh, no. Just have faith. You know, we don't want to give Satan power. Are you kidding? Where did you see Jesus kind of acting like he wasn't there? Peter. Satan chooses to sift you as wheat. That, bam. Right? Now, well, I'm not saying use Satan as an excuse, because we can do that too in our righteousness. And we can use Satan as an excuse, and we can say, oh, yeah, this is just the enemy, and we need to repent. No, it's not the enemy. It's your sin. That's why you come see a counselor, because they help you figure that stuff out. By the way, that's my little personal plug. But we don't do it perfectly, because I'm not perfect. You have the freedom to love. As you understand how the enemy works, you understand how to pray, how to intercede, how to stand against the unrighteousness, how to stand against the injustice, how to stand and call those things what they are and say, where this is the enemy, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke your work and every attempt you're making to tear down what God has established in his church in the name of Jesus, not in your name. There's no power in your name. We sang about that. You have freedom to love when you do that. You have freedom to serve. You don't have anything holding you back because your movement, what's empowering you, what's compelling you is the love of Christ for you and the forgiveness of Christ for you that says, I'm going to go to Togo with the people that I don't know. I'm going to go to the Congo. I'm going to go hang out with these prostitutes. I'm going to go to the jail. I'm going to go up and love my enemies in the church. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that a prayer that will never, ever go unanswered. You want to hear it? Lord, teach me how to love blank. It will never go unanswered. Ever. If you pray and ask God how to love somebody that has offended you especially, do you understand he will come? I mean, he is like on point. He will come and sit down over here. Say, let me show you how. He is on point because he knows them. And he knows what they need to have love minister to their hearts. We want to love people the way we like to be loved. Don't do it. He says, I can show you how to love them because I know what they need. And while you're loving them, I'm loving you because I know what you need. Imagine that. Spiritual maturity, peace and joy, Christ-likeness. Who wants to be like Jesus? So I leave you with these things. You're going to choose to forgive. You're going to speak the truth. And I'm going to move through these quickly. You're going to take back the territory. Did you know you give Satan territory when you keep injustice in the church? When you have unforgiveness in your heart, do you understand? At that moment that you hold that thing, you have given Satan territory. Now, if you're cool, okay. But if you come into my office and you've given them territory, I'm going to say, I can help you live. I can't help you die. That is one of my sayings. I'll help you live. I can't help you die. And sometimes we have to ask God to show us how to live because there's so much stuff in there that all we want to do is die ourselves or kill somebody else. Murder in the heart. I can't help you on that one except to expose it and name it. To be changed by the power of the gospel. Fight the right battle. Come on. We spend too much energy on the flesh and blood. Fight the right battle. And even when it is someone against you, you know, you choose your battle. I had to really learn this with my ex-husband. And I had to learn this in the church with people that have really, really, really hurt me. And I have been really, really hurt in the church. Not the leadership. You know, my own sisters, my own people that I thought were my homies. And the Lord said, keep loving them. One time he said to me when I was angry with my husband and I was with my little pride and arrogant self and had fixed dinner. I tell this story a lot. And I was fixing dinner and the Lord said, serve him. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. You got it wrong, God. Yeah, I'm like that. I kind of have a little attitude. Can you tell? And I said, I'm not serving him. I was so mad. I just wanted to be mad. And after all, we were reconciled after being separated. And I had a reason to be because he had gone back and done some other things he shouldn't have done. I had a justifiable reason to be angry. That's what I told myself anyway. So I'm going to go prancing up the stairs with my little righteous attitude. Self-righteous attitude. And the Lord just said this to me while I was on the way up those stairs. He said, do I withhold my love from you when you make me angry? And I fell down the steps. It was that audible. Boom. And I was like, whoa. So I was still mad. And I went with my mad self and I prepared this plate. And this is the way I handed it, like here. You know, I'm holding on to that thing. And you know what? I was knocked out by the way that he had felt and experienced the kindness of God. And he said, whoa, wow, And I was like, dog, that's not the response I needed. 'Fight the right battle. It sets the captives free. He was held captive to a lot of things, but maybe for a little while in the house with me, he felt some of the love of Christ. So emulating Christ, Tim Keller says, it should, I'm out of time, aren't I? Do I have a minute or two or one or three? Well, you can read this one. I'll read this one line. Bonhoeffer says, everyone who forgives someone bears the other's sins. On the cross, we see God doing visibly and cosmically what every human being must do to forgive someone, although he does it on a much greater level, of course. Defeating injustice. He says, only when you've lost the need to see the other person hurt will you have any chance of actually bringing about change, reconciliation, and healing. Christians in the community are never to give up on one another. Never give up on a relationship. Never write off another believer. Never. You're thinking, wait a minute, what about if they've really hurt me? You can still acknowledge that. You understand forgiving doesn't mean you're acting like that thing didn't exist. In fact, true forgiveness is in the acknowledgement of what really did exist. You understand that? The only thing that dispels lies is the truth. Diane Langberg says this, and I'll leave here. She says, he calls us to be in this world as he is, as he was, and his love goes to the dungeon, first to the one in our souls, and then, filled with love and light, wash over me, Holy Spirit, we descend into the dungeons in the world. You see that transformative power? We can do this in your church. We want to do ministry. We want to do outreach. We want to go across the waters. I believe in it. I love Africa. And especially, I've been in Congo. But Macklin, I got to tell you, I'm mostly Togolese. I did my DNA. Did you know that? Anyway, I was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, and there in the world, when he has washed over us, in the dungeons of our own soul and done a work of transforming through the love and forgiveness that he offers, as he does that in you, so you are able to go into the world, into your house, to your neighbors, to your communities, and you are able to do the same. And it's there that we defeat injustice. He is so good. Do you know when you're not committed to this, he's still committed? And that's the grace and the goodness of God. So if you're not here today, it's okay. It's all right. Because you're here today. And he's going to work. Because he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Until when? The day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
All right. Amen. All right. Schedule-wise, we keep a very flexible approach to what we're doing. So we're not going to be able to have table discussion right now. We've got a couple of things we need to do quickly here before.